Today on Richard Ellis Talks.
I can tell you just like that if you're a person who goes around thanking God or not, because all hell can be breaking loose in your life, and somewhere I look in your eyes and there'll still be joy. And you start telling me what's going on, I say, there's no way this person's living this way, just thinking positively. They are thanking God in the midst of their circumstances.
You're listening to Richard Ellis Talks with Richard Ellis. We're so grateful you've tuned into the program. Richard wants to share with you some encouragement, words of hope, and probably a laugh or two. And in today's complicated, busy life, that's exactly what's needed. Richard's talks are always straight from the Bible, filled with truth. Now, you may not be able to hang out with us for the entire program, but you can always pick it back up at our website, richardellis.com. In fact, you can find all of Richard's talks right there waiting just for you, richardellis.com. So, with today's talk, here's Richard Ellis.
The title of today's message, I'm going to misspell a word here before I even tell you what the title is. If you took the words grateful and attitude and put them together, what would you get? Gratitude. And the title of today's message is gratitude, but it's spelled G-R-A-T-T-I-T-U-D-E. And I'm going to talk to you today about gratitude and what's your attitude. Sometimes you can be thankful, but is your attitude really that of thanks? And I've said this before, so many times it is easy to thank God when things are going good. Somebody gives you a new place to live, somebody gives you a new car, somebody gives you a great Christmas gift, that's great. But what is your attitude? Is there an attitude of gratitude when things don't go so well? 1 Thessalonians 5:17, if you want to turn to that, then I'm going to start with that one, and then we're going to go back over to Matthew and kind of work our way through some stories in the scriptures, some things that happen to different people and see their attitudes under stress. But 1 Thessalonians 5:17 says this, "In everything give thanks, for this is the will of God in Christ Jesus for you," or concerning you may have. My mentor, the day he sat down with me and went over this verse, he basically said to me, "Richard, the Bible says this is God's will for your life. You keep asking what God's will for your life is. Okay, here's God's will for your life, that in everything you give thanks." And I'd start thinking about it. I'd say, well, there's some good things. He'd say, no, no, no. In everything. If you're broke, if you're in pain. And see, I went over there and saw this man this week in pain. And he had not lost his attitude of gratitude. Now, he's in pain. He's not having fun. See, if somebody tells you you can become a Christian, have fun, it's not always fun. The Bible talks about suffering associated with Christianity and following Christ. But you can be grateful no matter what. And this flat out says, in everything give thanks, for this is the will of God in Christ Jesus for you. Now, it is a sacrifice of thanksgiving because it costs you something. It's not easy. But I want you to think for a minute, what is the worst thing going on in your life right now? What is the toughest thing going on in your life? You got it? You know exactly what it is. All right, now here we're going to practice right now. Now, here's how this deal works. Father, I thank you for blank. Is it a person? Is it a situation? Is it a boss? What is it? God, I'm here to tell you, I thank you. You say the will for my life is this. I got this boss that I just soon see pass away quietly, but whatever. God, I thank you for blank, this person. I thank you for my dad. I thank you for my mom. I thank you for my stepdad, stepmom, son, daughter, boss, debt. Whatever it is that's poking a hole in your eyes, you say, whatever it is, my ex whoever, whatever, God, this is the thing I hate the most, the person I hate the most that's causing me, is the thorn in my backside. And Father, I do not like it. This is not a good thing, but you say to thank you. So here I am, God. And dear Father, I thank you. And I thank you for blank, this thing. And I praise you. And I know, God, that you wouldn't allow this to happen to me unless there was a reason. And I can trust you. And you're trying to use this to break me and to make me whoever you want me to be. So I'm not going to let this thing squash me anymore. I'm going to get out from under it and I'm going to get above it. And I'm going to thank you. Now, people say, well, that's just positive thinking. Let me tell you something, guys. There isn't anything positive about it in the sense that it's just positive. It is powerful thinking because there is nobody, you can think positively all you want to about somebody you hate, but only the grace of God can override certain things. You are not going to do it with positive thinking. Human nature and the depravity of man will overwhelm any positiveness if that's all you've got. It is powerful thinking and it's based on the Word of God. Now, I looked at Claude when he told me this and I said, Claude, you're nuts. I said, that's the craziest thing I've ever heard in my life. I said, this is not good, Claude. I am not thanking God for this. This is not good. He said, Richard, it's not about whether it's good or bad. I said, well, I'm not doing it. He said, well, you will. And I kind of got a little, you know, ticked about that. I thought, what do you mean I will? And he was right. You know why? Because my way never worked. And I kept watching this man, and he had all this peace and joy and all these things I read about and didn't have, and he'd have all this junk happen to him, and his attitude was great, and I'd have stuff happen to me, and my attitude stunk, my attitude sucked. So I thought, I never get that tense wrong or whatever it is. So I thought, you know, what have I got to lose? Now, what do you do finally at a certain point? You say, well, I don't agree. I don't think it works. At some point, you are going to take a step of faith and say, you know what? God says that. I don't get it, but either it works or it doesn't. And I've seen too many people's lives it does work in. So I'm going to take a step of faith, not on how I feel, but what I know to be the truth. And I'm just going to start doing it. If any of you ever work out or somebody's tried to talk you into working out, which some people tried with me occasionally and I go for a while, they tell me I'm going to feel better and I'm going to, you know, it's going to be great. It's awful. I have never met anybody who hadn't worked out in 10 years and, you know, got on a Stairmaster or something and started working out. Oh, this is fun. Praise God for this Stairmaster. You're dying. You know, you think you're going to keel over. It's just awful. But if you keep doing it, it brings about some good stuff. You will feel better somewhere along the way. So when you start doing this, you say, well, God, I don't get it. I'm not doing it. He says, you will, and you will. Because you've only got two options. You're either going to spend the rest of your life complaining and end up old and, you know, like this on a steering wheel, hating everybody you drive by. You know, and those people that drive gnawing on a steering wheel, you ever seen those people? You just want to get away from those men and women. I'm telling you, if you see somebody in a car down like this, just mad as the world and chewing on their steering wheel, those are angry people. They've been complaining for years and they're not going to stop with you. You're either going to die complaining or you're going to start thanking God and trusting Him no matter what happens. Now, guys, I don't know whether you get this or not, but I'm going to tell you what, it works. There are about three or four things that literally changed my entire life, and this is one of them. And I can spot people who live this verse. How do you know these people? I can tell you just like that if you're a person who goes around thanking God or not, because all hell can be breaking loose in your life, and there'll be somewhere I look in your eyes, and there'll still be joy. And you start telling me what's going on, I say, there's no way this person's living this way, just thinking positively. They are thanking God in the midst of their circumstances. In everything, they're giving thanks. Why? Because it's God's will for their life in Christ Jesus, period. They're doing it by faith, and they know that it works. And the other option, complaining and worrying, ain't going to fix it anyway. All right, Matthew 5:10. Matthew is the first book of the New Testament. If you found that, go to chapter 5, verse 10. And we're going to read three verses out of here and then go to Luke. Chapter 5, verse 10. Blessed are those who are persecuted for righteousness' sake, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. Blessed are you, he says, you are blessed when what? When they revile and persecute you and say all kinds of evil against you falsely for my name's sake. He says you're blessed. You got a job and someone lies about you? They accuse you of doing things you've never done? God says you're blessed. Especially if it's for His sake. Verse 12, what is your response supposed to be when it happens? Rejoice and be exceedingly glad. You ought to be excited when this stuff happens. That's what the Bible says. How in the world are you going to be excited when someone lies about you at work just because you're a Christian, if that's what's going on? You're not going to do it without these verses, without in everything give thanks, without having this gratitude that He talks about. He says, rejoice and be exceedingly glad. He didn't say, well, be kind of happy about it. He says, be exceedingly glad. Go, wow, this is great, God. They're coming after me. I must be doing something right or they wouldn't be coming after me. And I'm not going to back down. And I'm going to love you and live for you and I'm going to take it. Now, I know some people, I'm looking around the room that I've had conversations and you guys catch so much hell at work. It is unbelievable. It's in meetings, sales meetings, in boardrooms, wherever it is, and people just fire darts, I'm thinking of someone very specifically right now, who gets clobbered for nothing else than being a Christian. And the book says, in the midst of that, you're supposed to rejoice and be exceeding glad. Why? For great is your reward in heaven, for so they persecuted the prophets who were before you. The reward is there. You may not get your reward here. You may take heat here, but you're going to get a reward there and it's going to be worth it. That's living by faith, saying, God, I don't care what happens here. I'm not going to be stuck here forever anyway. So I'm going to look to there, down the road, somewhere else where it's all going to be worth it. There's an old hymn that says it will be worth it all when we see Jesus, and it will. You've got to take it for a little bit longer, but that you don't just take it. You say, you know what? I'm not going to take this anymore. I'm going to put it right back on you. And what makes the world crazy is when they fire at you, and instead of it putting your fire out, it fires you up even more. And they think the more we persecute this guy, the more alive they become. It makes them nuts because it should shut you down, and instead it lifts you up because you're applying this stuff. You're rejoicing. You're being exceeding glad. All right, turn to Luke 6. Matthew, Mark, Luke. Go two books over. Luke 6, 22. And I read this stuff to you guys because if you don't, you won't believe it's in here. I want you to see it with your own eyes and think about this stuff, because this is where people live. Unless you're self-employed, never get around people, and you know you're protected, but even then you can get hit. Luke 6, 22. Blessed are you when men hate you. Now he's telling us we're blessed when people hate us and when they exclude you. Now guys, think about this. He's saying you're blessed when people hate you and exclude you. You ever felt excluded for nothing else than being a Christian? Oh, we're all going to go do such and such. You want to go? He ain't going to go. He's one of those weird Christian guys. He's some kind of freak. He's a Jesus freak. And they literally exclude you from what they do. Blessed are you, the Bible says, when they exclude you and revile you and cast out your name as evil and call you something you're not. For the Son of Man's sake, rejoice in that day and leap for joy. Now, people say, well, how do you know where the Christian life's working? It's right there. When you find yourself going, oh my gosh, it finally happened to me. Someone excluded me for Jesus' sake, and I can't believe I finally got my chance. God, this is awesome. I'm so excited this is happening. It's like winning the lottery or something to a Christian. You say, well, I don't ever do that. Then something's wrong. You say, well, I don't want to be that kind of person. Then it's just not going to work. And it's not something you can manufacture, guys. You got to step out in faith and say, God, I'm missing something here, because the Bible clearly describes, and this is Jesus talking, rejoice in that day and leap for joy, for indeed your reward is great in heaven, for in the like manner their fathers did to the prophets. Same kind of thing, he says. It happened to people before you. It's going to happen to you and people after you. You got to get used to this stuff. But you don't have to have it crush you, guys. You can live through it, not just survive it. It can be a very positive thing. All right, turn to Acts. Matthew, Mark, Luke, John, Acts. Chapter 5, and we're going to start in verse 26. Then the captain went with the officers and brought them without violence, for they feared the people, lest they should be stoned. And when they had brought them, they set them before the council, and the high priest asked them, saying, did we not strictly command you not to teach in this name? These men had been teaching in Jesus' name. And look, you have filled Jerusalem with your doctrine and intend to bring this man's blood on us. But Peter and the other apostles answered and said, we ought to obey God rather than men. We're not going to stop preaching this name. You're crazy. We're going to obey him, not you. The God of our fathers raised up Jesus, whom you murdered by hanging on a tree. Him God has exalted to his right hand to be prince and savior, to give repentance to Israel and forgiveness of sins. And we are his witnesses to these things, and so also is the Holy Spirit, whom God has given to those who obey him. When they heard this, they were furious and plotted to kill them. They went ballistic. Because not only are they coming back saying we're going to do what God tells us to do, not what you say to do, but they gave them the gospel in the middle of it. They keep preaching the gospel in the middle of this rebuttal. Then one in the council stood up, a Pharisee named Gamaliel, who by the way was one of Saul, who became Paul, one of his teachers. He was in the school of Gamaliel, a teacher of the law, held in respect by all the people, and commanded them to put the apostles outside for a little while. And he said to them, okay guys, now think about this. Men of Israel, take heed to yourselves what you intend to do regarding these men. For some time ago, Theudas rose up, claiming to be somebody. A number of men, about 400, joined him. He was slain, and all who obeyed him were scattered and came to nothing. After this man, Judas of Galilee rose up in the days of the census and drew away many people after him. He also perished, and all who obeyed him were dispersed. Now, we got a couple of test cases here where this Judas guy and this Theudas guy, they were somebody, they died, nobody did anything. So Jesus lived, he died, these guys are following him. Leave them alone. There's nothing to this. It'll go away like these other bands did. Verse 38, and now I say to you, keep away from these men and let them alone. For if this plan or this work is of men, now listen, if it's just of men, it will come to nothing. Now, guys, I'm reading you this 2,000 years later, and it hadn't stopped. You know why? Because this leader isn't dead. If it is just of men, it will come to nothing. Look at verse 39. But if it is of God, if this Jesus is the Messiah, and if he really has been raised from the dead and he's alive, you cannot overthrow it. Now, guys, that's the truth. Nobody stopped this train. You cannot overthrow the kingdom of God because the leader is alive. And he has conquered death, life, and everything there is in between. And it is not going to stop. And He is going to get His will done, and He is going to come back, and it's going to happen exactly like this book says. If it is of God, you cannot overthrow it, lest you even be found to fight against God. You do not want to be found there fighting against God. Verse 40. So this whole crew of people, the Pharisees and the Sadducees, they agreed with Him, and when they had called for the apostles, now listen to what happens. These things are little words in here, but it's huge. They had called for the apostles and beaten them. Well, let's just beat them for the heck of it and see what that does. We'll try to slow them down, just beat them. Now, you're going to work and somebody's excluding you from the happy hour trip because you're a Christian. What if you spoke Jesus' name at the office and got your fired, and then they said, well, you know what? Let's just beat him before we kick him out of the office. Let's just kick the fire out of this guy. Let's just beat these people up before we let them go, before we give them their pink slip. These apostles are doing exactly what God tells them to do. They're being obedient. They're being bold. They're following directions. They get arrested. They get hauled in before these supposedly godly people, and they are beaten. They commanded, look what it says here, when they had called for the apostles and beaten them, they commanded they should not speak in the name of Jesus and let them go. Now, I'm going to tell you something. There are people every day on this planet who are murdered and beaten for nothing else but the name of Christ. And you cannot, you better kill me because I will not stop preaching. You might as well shoot me. Now, I say that and say, well, Richard, you've never been beaten for being a Christian. I think what people don't realize is if someone has really decided to follow Jesus, you can beat them, and that does not beat them down. It raises them up with even more boldness. You will not stop me because you cannot stop this king and you cannot stop his kingdom. They commanded they should not speak in the name of Jesus and let them go. So they departed. Now, this is what is awesome. I read all this to get to these last two verses. So these apostles departed from the presence of the council rejoicing. They've just been beaten, excluded, everything possible, told not to preach in this name, and they departed rejoicing. Something about them welled up with joy, and they're leaving there rejoicing that they were counted worthy to suffer shame for His name. Now, guys, at some point you got to cross that line where you stop taking this stuff personally. Oh, I went to work today and school today, and they said some mean things about me, and I don't deserve this. I'm a good employee and a good worker. Get over it. You ought to get in your car and drive home and get on your cell phone the fastest way you can. Get to somebody and say, you won't believe what happened today. I'm not trying to be obnoxious. I wasn't making a fool of myself. I just took a stand, and I got punched verbally or psychologically, whatever they use. And I really realized I had stood up for my faith and for Christ, and I'm so excited that it works and it happened. This is awesome. And you leave with a whole nother attitude. And where they thought they were punching you down, all they did was give you more boldness and more strength and more courage. So they left rejoicing because they were counted worthy to suffer shame for His name. And daily in the temple and in every house, they did not cease teaching and preaching who? Jesus as the Christ. They had beaten them and told them, don't speak in Jesus' name anymore. And every day in the synagogue and in every house, what were they doing? Speaking in Jesus' name, just like they were told not to. You can't stop it. And when you get to the point where you're rejoicing in persecution and these things, guys, you are unstoppable. You are virtually unstoppable. There is so much boldness and courage, there's nobody can tie you down. All right, go to Acts 16. I may give you a couple more of these. We're not getting out of here without this one. Acts 16, 23. There's another place where Paul and Silas are arrested. We'll pick it up in verse 23. And when they had laid many stripes on them, they take whips and whip these guys like animals. They had laid many stripes on them. They threw them into prison, commanding the jailer to keep them securely. Having received such a charge, in other words, don't lose these prisoners, he put them in the inner prison and fastened their feet in the stocks. So they're in, not just in the prison, but in the inner prison, their feet are literally clamped into stocks in this prison. And this is one of my favorite verses in the whole book, verse 25. They have been beaten. Their backs are bloody from this beating. And usually they would beat them. Under the law, you couldn't go more than 40 stripes. So they would count. They'd only go to 39 because you didn't want to go over 40 because that broke the law. You could almost beat a man to death, but if you stayed within the Jewish law and didn't go over 40, you were okay. So they had probably gotten 39 stripes, beaten to a pulp almost. They're in a prison with these leg irons on in the inner prison. But at midnight, Paul and Silas were praying and singing hymns to God. Now that, my friends, is the power of God. You've been beaten, whipped literally like an animal, and locked in prison, and at midnight, you're sitting there together, and you're praying, Father, we thank you. You've counted us worthy to be whipped like animals for the cause of Christ. And here we are in jail, and we praise you, and we thank you that we're your children. And Father, you know what? It just overwhelms us so much, we're going to sing a song. And we're going to sing hymns. We're going to sing psalms back to you and tell you how awesome you are and how grateful we are that we even get to be in this family and go through these problems. And all of a sudden, music erupts from the inner prison. Now look what happens. At midnight, Paul and Silas were praying and singing hymns to God, and the prisoners were listening to them. And suddenly there was a great earthquake, so that the foundations of the prison were shaken, and immediately all the doors were open, and everyone's bands were loosed. Every door in the prison opened, and every prisoner in the prison was unshackled. They're all loose. And the keeper of the prison, awaking out of his sleep and seeing the prison doors open, drew out his sword and would have killed himself, supposing that the prisoners had been fled, because he'd have gotten killed anyway, letting them all escape. But Paul cried with a loud voice, saying, "Don't harm yourself. Do yourself no harm, for we're all here." Then he called for a light and sprang in and came trembling and fell down before Paul and Silas. And he brought them out and he said, "Sirs, what must I do to be saved?" What do you have that I don't have? What must I do to be saved, to have this relationship? And they said, now listen close, "Believe on the Lord Jesus Christ and you will be saved in your house." If you believe and your house believes on the Lord Jesus Christ, you can be saved. Out of a beating, an imprisonment, there's an earthquake, they're all let loose. The stress of all that, this prison guard who's over the prison, thinks he's lost everybody, goes to kill himself. And out of all this disaster, what happens? "And they spake unto him the word of the Lord and to all them that were in his house. And he took them the same hour of the night and washed their stripes and was baptized, he and all his, straightway." Another baptism reference here. That night, the man who kept the prison and all of his family heard the gospel from Paul and Silas as a result of this disaster. The man who ran the prison, his family, they all became Christians. They washed Paul and Silas' stripes, and they were baptized that night, he and all his family, straightway. And when he had brought them into his house, he set meat before them and rejoiced, believing in God with all his house. See, what you don't get sometimes, guys, is you're suffering. You may end up somewhere in some situation. You think, well, I can't take this anymore. I'm out of here. But it's not about you anyway. God's allowing you to go through something to get you somewhere for somebody else's sake. And you may be in a job that is awful, but it's not about you and your job. It's about you being somewhere with some people who are never going to hear the gospel if you're not there. And you say, well, I can't take it anymore. Well, you got people around you feeling the same way, but they don't have Jesus to even take it with. So you say, Father, I hate this job, but you know what? I thank you for it because I got food on my table. I got clothes to wear. My kids are healthy. Whatever you got, you thank him for that, for what you do and what you don't have, and you trust him. You say, well, I don't like this. This is foolishness. The Bible says the whole thing is foolishness. The Bible says the preaching of this gospel is foolishness to those who are perishing, but to those who believe, it is the power of God unto salvation. You want to get saved from complaining? Then start thanking God. Apply it. Hebrews 13:15, "Therefore by him let us continually offer the sacrifice of praise to God, that is the fruit of our lips, giving thanks to his name." Try it. You say, well, I don't believe it'll work. You'll never find out unless you try it.
We'll get back to Richard in a moment to close out today's talk. But first, I want to share something with you about the program. Our mission is actually very simple, to take the planet. So it's our prayer that these daily talks from Richard aren't something you only hear and enjoy, but that they inspire you to share with others. Together we can do this. The message of the gospel is something everyone needs to hear, and that's why it's a huge priority to us. And you can join us in this important mission. Call us at 855-6-RICHARD to say you're in. Or you can get on board with us through our website, richardellis.com. Well, here's Richard with some closing thoughts for us.
If you will live your life with a grateful attitude, with true gratitude, your attitude towards God will change. Your attitudes toward life will change. You will not have any situation come your way that you can't rise above. The same wave that'll literally crash you into the rocks, you can get hammered under or you can ride all the way in. And I'm telling you, being thankful and living a life of gratitude will get you above that wave and change your life. Just start one time today. Pick whatever it is you thought of and say, okay, God, I'm going to start thanking for that. See, your situation may never change, but you will. Some situations never change, folks. They're not going to change. Sometimes they just won't change, but God will change your attitude into gratitude.
Thanks for tuning in today to Richard Ellis Talks. We all have busy schedules these days, so it means the world to us that you would take this time to listen. Richard would love to know how today's talk has touched your heart, so give us a call at 855-6-RICHARD, 855-6-RICHARD. You can also share your story with us at our website, richardellis.com. One last thing, Richard Ellis Talks is a daily program that is always expanding to reach the world with the good news of the gospel, but it also has daily costs. And being a listener-supported program like ours means we rely on the financial partnership of our listeners, which means you. We believe that these talks with Richard are making a difference in your life, so this is how you can make a difference to ours. You can contribute by calling 855-6-RICHARD or at our website, richardellis.com. Thank you for your generosity. God bless, and thanks for listening to Richard Ellis Talks.